Happy Monday, folks. Memorial Day, May 25th, 2020. Negative 25th. Yeah, it's the 25th, 2020. It's a holiday, right? Every day is a holiday now, baby. Every day's a holiday. Oh, man. You guys do this weekend. I hope you stayed out of trouble. And I always forget to do this thing. The folks on patreon.com/truepundit. I have to keep this thing going for the video podcast, so bear with me. I don't know why I always... I'll get it down eventually. You know, I could be a big shot one day. I can have a producer like everybody else, and it helps me out with this stuff. And but for right now, it's like garage band, baby. You know, it might actually be better that way than be all fancy dancy like a lot of these guys, so GarageBand might not be a bad thing, right? I kind of like it because it's just real and it's original. And I go back, I research the Clash and how they started and stuff, and that was like a real groundswell, you know, like grassroots and real and gritty. And so I guess I would kind of compare this in a little bit. Not that I'm Joe's fucking strummer, but that might be the closest thing in journalism these days. In a lot of ways. I was listening to music tonight. I don't know if you guys do this. I went for a drive. I had like wake up and shake the cobwebs out from the weekend and get a little night air. I like the night air. I don't know what it does to me. And I don't really know if there's any difference between a night air and the day air, but get a little fired up. Clear out the cobwebs, and I was listening to Rat. Remember that song? Round and round comes around, goes around. I like that song. I'm going to see if we can get it for the show, like the intro and stuff. I really have always been a fan of that song, Rat. Round and Round came out in 84, the band Rat, R-A-T-T, and you guys remember it? 80s music? There's nothing better than 80s music. Maybe Elvis Presley, but 80s music collectively is very strong, but the song Round and Round with Rat has always bittersweet because one of my buddies from high school was going hot and heavy with a girl back in prep school and senior year, and everything was going great. She was something else too, really good looking girl, and at one of the girls' schools, like we had these gigs with the girls' schools and dances and stuff and correspondences. Back then, there was no email, so you wrote letters and things like that. Sent pictures, and not the kind of pictures they send now. But his girlfriend went away to, I think it was Hawaii on Easter break. I'm going to say Easter break. She went away to Hawaii, and she ended up dating the lead singer of Rat, and she broke up with our boy back at school, and the guy was devastated. So there was a period there where we were plotting to kidnap the lead singer of Rat and beat the shit out of him. This guy was like rocking and rolling in LA, has no idea these maniacs are back in Pennsylvania drawing up plans to find him, track him down. But other than that, hey, Rat's a good band, you know. It's just funny thinking back at stuff like that. Stuff you thought was important when you were 17 years old is not so important anymore. Where are we at? Yeah, so I already did the shout-out to folks on patreon.com/truepundit. We appreciate you guys, your support. We tried out some ads in the last week and a half. I didn't like them. I dumped them for now. So we'll keep searching. I didn't like the company. I didn't like the feel. I didn't like the ads and just the quality of the ads. I didn't like what they were paying. So we'll try something in maybe a week or so again. But for right now, if you want to support us, that's the only way to support us, patreon.com/truepundit. Oh, yeah. Wait a minute. Let me take a quick drink. Also, some people are like, I don't like Patreon, man. I'm not down with that scene. So We're on subscribestar.com/truepundit too, which is a rival product to Patreon, but it does the same thing where you can chip in, and we have our video podcast on there as well as the More Pain show on Tuesday nights and anything else that we deem downloadable, presentable to our support clientele. So patreon.com/truepundit and subscribestar.com/truepundit. It's more stuff for me to remember. Let's start with the news. One thing before we get rolling, I just saw this right before. This isn't part of the downloadable stuff that was prepared for me, but I noticed that, I have to blow this up. Man, my eyesight's like shot. Why won't this blow up? See, I don't understand that. Whatever. The ATF has put out a internal, for information only, alcohol, tobacco, and firearms to its agents and to law enforcement, saying that some people are getting mad out there. They might be targeting law enforcement. It's not so much targeting law enforcement. It's like people are getting sick of your shit out there, I think is more like what it is. But let me read this real quick. I got to get close to this. ATF Baltimore. When the ATF targets you, you better watch out. Because ask David Koresh and Ruby Ridge, right? These guys, their track record's not the best. And Baltimore, wow, what a cesspool. ATF, do you folks know that Baltimore right now, I don't even know if the people in Baltimore know this. There's drones, 24-hour drone surveillance in Baltimore, mapping the entire city second by second and put a map together of the entire city. There's multiple police drones flying over the city, mapping it so that it mirrors basically a mosaic of every single movement of every single minute. So if you think you're going to create some kind of scheme in Baltimore or crime, they up there looking. The drones are up there watching. This is insane. Not a lot of people know that. Heard that from a couple people that I trust. Okay, so ATF Baltimore is saying, in conjunction with the Baltimore Police Department, has observed social media postings on private social networking, and let me move this over here so I can read it. I apologize. I'm losing it. Associated with the Boogaloo movement. Boogaloo. Wait a minute. God damn it. The social, these phones, I'll tell you, the phones are interfering with the feed here. Let me see if it is. It's making noise. There it goes. Do you guys hear that? Hello? I apologize. I find it interesting, though, that everything is kind of linked together. These phones, the microphones, the soundboard. I don't know. I still hear it. Check, check, check. I found out since I was a kid, usually you just beat things if there's a problem, and he usually resolves it. I got to stop taping. Check 1, 2. Okay. Check 1, 2. See, it works every time. No more buzzing. Oh, boy. One way or another, we swap out a mic here and there. Smack the microphone around a little bit. Anyway, this thing with the ATF, they warn about extreme Second Amendment proponents. I would say that your Second Amendment is extreme to begin with, right? In other words, you're extremely exercising your rights to believe in the Second Amendment. There's nothing extreme about it, really. But, the, you know, the what's going on here is the police have been pushing people around in the last 2 months, and now they're starting to worry about it. Like, oh, there's some talk of police violence out there. Yeah, you've been cracking people's heads and hassling them over masks and stuff. What do you think was going to happen? This isn't rocket science. You treat people like pieces of shit, and you're going to get it back. So the ATF is on it. Don't worry about it. Some geniuses over there. And I know guys who work for them, too. So whatever. It is what it is. First headline. Social isolation increases risk of heart attack, stroke, and death from all causes. Yeah, that's great. That's just great. Isn't this, weren't they supposed to save us? Didn't the government put on their cape and they were going to save us? Researchers warn that socially isolated people are over 40% more likely to suffer a heart attack, stroke, or other major cardiovascular event. Moreover, the socially isolated are nearly 50% more likely to die from any cause. That's nice. The study was conducted by Dr. Janine Groenewald and Professor Dirk Herrmann from the University Hospital in Essen, Germany. They analyzed data for 4,316 people, average age 59 years old, who had been recruited for research between 2000 and 2003. All those participants initially had no known cardiovascular problems and were tracked for an average of 13 years. We have known for some time that feeling lonely or lacking contact with close friends and family can have an impact on your physical health. Dr. Groenewald explains in a press release, what this study tells us is that they're having strong social relationships. Is that having strong social relationships is of high importance for your heart health and similar to the role of classical protective factors such as healthy blood pressure, acceptable cholesterol levels, and a normal weight. Over the course of that 13.4-year follow-up period and study, 339 major cardiovascular events occurred, heart attacks, strokes, as well as 530 deaths. Even after the research team accounted for other potentially contributing risk factors like medical history, exercise schedule, etc., social isolation was still linked to a 44% increase risk of cardiovascular events and binge listening to Rat before I went on the air here. 47% increased risk of death by any cause. Lack of financial support was associated with a 30% increase in cardiovascular risk. Guys, this is what we've been talking about. The cure is worse than the disease. More proof. Here's a little note they write me. You don't have to cover this much if you don't want to, but it is the top story of last week. Okay. It's a new week. Joe Biden, you ain't black if you don't back me over Trump. What is this guy doing, Biden? I mean, does anybody, look, let's just, we'll cover this and then I'll give you my 2 cents, okay? Former Vice President Joe Biden declared Friday morning that if black Americans are unsure whether to support him over President Donald Trump in the November election, then you ain't black. He's literally right down the road from here losing his mind. 4 or 5 miles down the road. Losing his mind. Biden made the unsolicited racially charged remarks as he departed his virtual interview with the Breakfast Club co-host Charlemagne the God. Am I saying that right? Charlemagne the God? Probably Charlemagne, the god, right? The, T-H-A, the god. What's going on here with these people? Where's this from? I don't know. I don't know who the Breakfast Club is. The Breakfast Club to me was a good movie back in the day, but Charlemagne, the god. I guess that's an African-American host of the Breakfast Club, I guess. Because I saw a video clip and he was talking to a black dude. If you have a problem figuring out whether you're me for Trump, then you ain't black, Biden told Charlemagne. I'm sorry, Charlemagne. Not in response to any question, but to the host's statement. It's a long way until November. We've got more questions. It is a long way to November. I don't think Biden is there at the finish line. I think he's a placeholder until the summer, until the national convention, however, whatever form they have it in. And then I think they're going to throw somebody in as a surprise. Surprise! Biden's out. He can't do it. He lost his mind again, that kind of thing. Or he'll say something really stupid. Or Corn Pop will surface with some... some video. Wait a second. I think I got some. Do I got a Corn Pop over here?
You may come.
No, that's not it.
And Corn Pop was a bad dude. And he ran a bunch of bad boys.
Mm-hmm. Corn Pop's coming back for the convention. He's going to take Biden out. I'm waiting for the other stuff to drop about Biden, too. There's much worse stuff than that has not come out yet. So that will probably knock him silly. Knock him out of the race, I'm thinking. And they already have somebody waiting in the wings, or they're working on it. Something's going to happen there. And I don't know what he was. Yeah, he went on this show probably to try to boost his rating or his appeal to the African-American community, and it looks like it really blew up on him. But maybe not. I mean, it's hard to say how these things play out. It's a long way to November, and who knows if he's even going to be running, so it might not matter at all. I'm convinced that somebody else is going to be at the finish line. I don't know who. And it might be a woman. Well, we will see. And it might be you-know-who. She's always milling around. Second headline. Cuomo attempts to deflect blame of deadly nursing home coronavirus debacle onto Trump. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo Saturday doubled. Where was the guy in Michigan? He was beating that guy, the old man. The young guy was beating the old guy in the nursing home. Have you seen that video? People are like, ooh, this is a big problem. Yeah, it's a big problem because the young guy was in the nursing home in the elder care facility because he had coronavirus. They stuffed him in there. That's the story. I mean, granted, this was in Detroit. Granted, he also beat the guy up, but what was that young guy doing in there? Oh, he had coronavirus, so they stuffed him in there. That's the story in Detroit and Michigan, right? Isn't that Crazy Eyes, the state? The crazy chick with the wild eyes. You know, it's funny. I watched that. If you've seen that video, there was a groundswell. A video went public. I don't know who got it. Somebody got it on a guy kind of like in my buddy Bronco's group. These guys run pretty close pack. They started circulating that video at nighttime. I think it was Thursday night. And then they started forwarding it to, like, Detroit Police Department to say, yo, you got to do something about this guy. He's a menace. You got to arrest him. And a lot of people on Twitter started reposting that and to try to get the guy arrested. And I guess the guy eventually was arrested. But the next day, and I know a lot of these guys, like, are working hard. They don't really have a platform. They're not journalists. They're just on Twitter. But they started this, exposing this guy for beating up this old man and stuff. The next day, I read a story in the Gateway Dope wrote a story that Tom Fitton was the hero and he put an end to this. I'm like, this is these guys. They take credit for everything. It's ridiculous. Fitton had nothing to do with anything. He was at home in bed. He was in his jammies. He was in his Buzz Lightyear jammies. That dope over there in St. Louis at the Gateway Dope. One of the worst ever. Don't get me started about that guy. I can go on and on and on. Okay, so here we go. Cuomo's is trying to blame Trump. I just thought I'd throw that sidebar in because I thought it was interesting. And even Trump had tweeted it. Like, hey, is this video real? What's this guy doing out on the street? You know, it was pretty bad. I woke up today, another sidebar, I woke up today, and I was retweeted by the president, so I appreciate that. What took you so long? That's the hockey coach in me, right? Something good happens, and you say, hey, son, good job, but next time, don't do that, do this. I guess we appreciate the retweet. I'm not sure because of all the stories we broke in the past on so many different things and anti-corruption and corruption and blowing the roof off so many things. I would have thought maybe if it were going to be retweeted, it would be something along those lines, not what we retweeted on, but it is what it is and we move on. And I don't really get excited about stuff like that. But I guess we're appreciative. I'm appreciative that he took the time out to retweet something that we did, even though I'm not happy about what I got retweeted on. I don't have to be happy about it. Okay. Cuomo doubled down on his state's now scrapped nursing home policy that critics say contributed to thousands of coronavirus deaths and instead blamed the problem on President Trump and his administration. New York followed the president's agency's guidance, Cuomo said Saturday at his press conference. What New York did was follow what the Republican administration said to do. That's not my attempt to politicize it. It's my attempt to depoliticize it. So don't criticize the state for following the president's policies. Yeah, I guess it's everybody else's fault that New York has more coronavirus deaths than I think every other country. I mean, I'm being serious. Around the world, why do you think that is? I'm sure it has something to do with Cuomo and de Blasio and not everybody else. This is probably another sign that Cuomo is not going to get his all or a portion of his $6 billion he was looking for to get from the feds to help close his state's swelling budget woes. He's in the bread, $6 billion. And Cuomo has made so many mistakes. It's really scary. He's made actually more mistakes than Fauci and that whole crew. And that's saying something. Cuomo and de Blasio, like I said, the Justice Department should look at these guys. If we had a Justice Department, that's another story. Nursing care facilities, home to some of the most vulnerable citizens, have been coronavirus hotspots around the country. New York leads the nation with the most reported coronavirus nursing home deaths at more than 5,000. Though the state changed how it counts deaths, so the numbers of nursing home patient deaths could be even higher. These guys. But it's everybody else's problem, right, Cuomo? Cuomo's response Saturday echoed his past answer. Somebody better hook up some jumper cables to Cuomo's nipple rings and blast his ass, shock his ass back to reality. Turn that dial up to 11. Cuomo's response Saturday echoed his past answers that he was only following guidelines from the Trump administration and the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. A scathing Associated Press report out Friday was highly critical of the way in which Cuomo had handled the state's nursing home coronavirus crisis. It found more than 4,300 coronavirus-infected elderly patients were sent to vulnerable nursing homes under a controversial state directive that was ultimately scrapped amid criticisms that was accelerating the nation's deadliest outbreaks. I've said before, you can make more than an argument that Cuomo's moves were meant to kill more people. Now, that may or may not be true, but I think it warrants an investigation. That's just one example of him putting people in the path of peril. So, but the game is you always blame other people for what you're, that's like an old intel trick, right? Deny the accusations and then wage the exact same accusations against your accusers. Doesn't it get old after a while? It gets old to the people that just died. I think it's pretty old to them and their families. New headline. Where are we at? I don't even know where we're at. Doesn't matter. We'll just roll. Fauci says extended stay-at-home orders could cause irreparable damage. What? What is this ventriloquist dummy saying now? It's another flip-flop every time. This guy. Stay-at-home orders that extended too long could cause the U.S. irreparable damage, Dr. Fauci warned Friday. He came out of his hole again. I told you, he came out of his hole on Friday, and we have 6 more weeks of coronavirus, 6 more weeks of quarantine. Punxsutawney. Punxsutawney Phil Fauci.
I don't want people to think that any of us feel that staying locked down for a prolonged period of time is the way to go.
The member of the White House Coronavirus Task Force, Fauci said.
But now is the time, depending on where you are and what your situation is, to begin to seriously look at reopening the economy, reopening the country to get back to some degree of normalcy.
What is this fool talking about? He just said days ago no one should go anywhere until there's a vaccine. But that's been his shtick the whole time. What is this guy doing? Again, I don't think he knows what he's doing. I don't think this guy could pass a medical exam right now. Like when you're coming out of school and you have to take the medical exam, like the state board, so you can practice. I bet you he couldn't pass it. I'm not kidding.
In general, I think most of the country is doing it in a prudent way, he said. There are obviously some situations where people might be jumping over that. I just say, please proceed with caution if you're going to do that.
Oh, the king has spoken. Fauci's comments came one day after two top Republicans, Senator Rand Paul of Kentucky and Representative Andy Biggs of Arizona, wrote in an op-ed that Fauci's initial safety recommendations had emasculated the nation's health care system and ruined the country. Fauci and company have relied on models that were later found to be deficient. He even has suggested that he can't rely on any of the models, especially if the underlying assumptions are wrong, the pair wrote in the USA Today op-ed. Yet Fauci persists in advocating policies that have emasculated the medical care system and ruined the economy. They also pointed to Fauci's testimony last week before a Senate committee that opening too soon would result in needless suffering and death. See, this guy, he just said opening too soon would hurt people. Now he's saying not opening soon enough will hurt people. It only took 1 week for this guy to do a complete 360. Is this guy Tony Fauci or Tony Hawk doing 360s and 720s on a ramp? Every time you talk to him, looks like Tony. This guy is nothing but, and again, why is the White House, why do they put any faith in this guy? This ferret probably doesn't even know what his name is half the time. Don't worry, he's got a sweet spot down there. By the way, nice $2+ million house he's sitting on. making all kind of dough, got all kind of dough squirreled away like the little squirrel that he is. What you got a $2 million house out there? You got a $2 million house that's paid for with all kind of cash in the bank? Yeah, I didn't think so. Me neither. And again, this reflects very poorly on the White House, to say the least. And November's right around the corner. Okay, new headline. Election official rigged election results for the Democrats, constituted significant percentage of the total votes. DOJ says, whoa, somebody woke up the Department of Justice. What happened? Well, we'll see. United States Attorney William McSwain announced on, there's a lot of Irish guys down there. Okay, if you're down there, like this McCarthy dope who writes and he's, you know, retweeting all these other idiots, these Andrew McCarthy fool. Everybody loves this guy. And he retweets all these quote unquote federal sources who don't use their real names. And I'm saying, McCarthy was, I've said this before, okay, but McCarthy was at DOJ in the Southern District of New York when Comey was there and McCabe and stuff, and I haven't seen him breaking any big stories about the stuff that they worked on and all the schemes. So, you know, be careful who you pat on the back. It's what he's not telling you that's the real story, not what he's telling you. So, if you're out there listening to McCarthy, come clean on the schemes you were either you know of or potentially were part of when you were with the Department of Justice in the Southern District of New York, and stop playing grab ass and writing these fucking puff pieces. Tell us what happened. Give us some dirt. Nobody cares about your legal mind. You're fucking dime a dozen. Guys like you and Dershowitz. Spill the beans or shut the fuck up. Yeah. Somebody's got to say it. United States Attorney William McSwain announced on Thursday that Dominic DeMauro, a judge of elections in Philadelphia, hey, picking on the Goombas in Philadelphia, how dare you, McSwain, has been charged with and pleaded guilty to stuffing ballot boxes over the course of several years with fraudulent votes for Democratic candidates in federal, state, and local elections. During his guilty plea, DeMauro admitted that an unnamed political consultant gave DeMauro directions and paid him money to illegally add votes to certain Democratic candidates, the Department of Justice said in a statement. Who's the unnamed political consultant? Who is? Why is he unnamed? I'm sure that he is named and the Justice Department's working on it, you would think. Or cutting a deal to save the guy's ass in exchange for somebody else. These candidates were individuals running for judicial office whose campaigns had hired the consultant as well as other candidates for various federal, state, and local elective offices who were preferred by this consultant for a variety of reasons. So it's just, we're pay to play. What was the time frame of this? Over the course of several years. Hey, McSwain, the fuck are you guys doing down there? Chasing people for selling hockey VHS tapes? Maybe you dumbasses should have been doing your jobs, and then it wouldn't be some guys running loose for several years stuffing ballot boxes. Instead, you're down there fucking some guy sold a Wayne Gretzky tape. Down there putting on the foil, ready to go to war with a nobody. After receiving payments ranging from between... See, this is why these guys are small time. The Department of Justice. This is a fucking small time scheme. It's not even on the radar. It's like a joke, right? After receiving payments... And I'm not excusing it, but you have to look at the amounts involved with the... compared to the palette of corruption in this country. The smorgasbord, the cornucopia of corruption, and this is what they pick out of it. This is like you open up your freezer and there's all kind of, there's Delmonico sticks, there's T-bones, there's filet mignon and all kind of really beefy cuts of steak. And you reach for the Swanson's Hungry Meal. You know what I mean? Hold on for a second. Check. So you got to look at the amounts. And see where I'm coming from. After receiving payments ranging from $305,000 per election from the consultant, DeMuro would add fraudulent votes on the voting machines, also known as ringing up votes, for the consultant's clients and preferred candidates, thereby diluting and distorting the ballots that were cast by actual voters. DeMuro would add these fraudulent votes to the totals during election day, and then he would later falsely certify that the voting machine results were accurate. He would add the fraudulent votes by literally standing in the voting booth. Blah, blah, blah. Who gives a fuck? Did you do anything about it? No. Look at this. It goes all the way back to May 2014. Did people lose elections because of this? Yeah. Did you... It's like they're always too late. They're always fucking around playing games, the DOJ, and they never get shit done. It's frustrating. It's really frustrating. Did people lose because of this? I don't care how he did it. Really? I don't really. Did anybody lose? Like, were they just a few votes shy of losing? Did you go back and then uncertify those elections? No. So, one guy goes, some patsy goes to jail, and everybody gets away with it. There's always a patsy going down the tubes for padding a ballot box. It's been that way for hundreds of years. I hate to sound sour about it, but it's stupid. It's a stupid case. It's a worthless case. This stuff 6 years ago, right? 6 years ago, a handful of votes. DeMuro was basically responsible for, what, 27 or 40 fraudulent votes a year? It's a fucking drop in the bucket. These guys, millions of votes a year through voter fraud. Good job, McSwain. Another Irish dope in Philadelphia's U.S. attorney playing grab ass. What's next? You're gonna indict somebody for dropping a Tasty Cake wrapper on Broad Street? Shanty prick. It's stupid. The whole thing's stupid. It's like a 40 votes. Millions of votes. If McSwain, if you want to do something, go back to the 2016 election. And go back to the 2016 election in Philly, in the previous election, and figure out how 115% of the precincts in Philadelphia voted. How could 115% of a precinct vote? It's impossible. Go back and look at that. 40 votes. Get the fuck out of here. Stupid. Bread and circuses, smoke and mirrors, parlor tricks. New headline. Happy holidays, everybody. New York City shutters field hospital that never saw a single patient, and officials want taxpayers to pick up the tab. Oh, wait a second. Didn't Cuomo say it was all Trump's fault and everybody else's fault? Ooh, Cuomo. These dopes. It doesn't matter what they do. A lot of the people who support them think that these guys would be like up for the Nobel Peace Prize. They should be up for the Nobel Peace of Shit Prize. That's what they should be up for. A field hospital set up in Brooklyn specifically for coronavirus patients is now being dismantled without having served a single patient, a city reporter. Wait a minute, wasn't that one hospital in Brooklyn? And a couple hospitals in Brooklyn were overrun. In Queens, oh, we're overrun. It's a travesty. If it's so bad, He set up a field hospital. Set up another field hospital in Central Park. You ran those people out of rail. Samaritan's Purse, because you said, they have a slant against the gay community. They're not really tolerant based on their Catholic, not Catholic, but Christian values. And we have no place in New York City for someone who's trying to help somebody else. When they have these philosophies, get the hell out of here. Through Billy Graham's group, Samaritan's Purse had to close down their hospital in Central Park. And then these dopes set up a hospital in Brooklyn, and they got no patients. According to the city, the field hospital was slated to open in mid-April, but wasn't ready for service until May 4th. Maybe Cuomo was over there running it, right? Whose fault was that? But by the time construction was completed, New York's coronavirus-related hospital population had dropped significantly, meaning the city no longer needed the field hospital. And now the site is being demolished. How many people went on the big naval boat? The USS Comfort, USNS Comfort. Remember the big boat came in? It was like, doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo. The big band was playing and all the people were watching. I think 12 people went on the fucking boat to get treated. Then they, like, left. The boat left the city. It's the worst episode of The Love Boat ever. Isaac didn't even mix any drinks and Doc didn't get laid. What's worse, city officials reportedly expect the Federal Emergency Management Agency via the taxpayer to pick up $20.8 million tab for constructing and tearing down the temporary site. City reported that the bill would include an additional $2 million fee paid to a construction management firm. Guys, $23 million? And Cuomo's bitching about money? Come on. This whole thing is a heist. You guys are smart. Come on. Wake up. It's ridiculous. They put that stuff in there on purpose. One story about Cuomo, and then two stories later, they throw Cuomo in again. They're trying to get me to have a goddamn heart attack here. Get so revved up at this stuff. You get all fired up. You want to punt Baxter off the bridge. It's a joke, of course. Headline. That's how I roll. We've seen numbers like this. Correction. We've never seen numbers like this. Trauma Doc sees post-lockdown suicide wave starting. Talked about GDP problems. These fucking morons created a bigger problem than they could ever imagine. I think it's on purpose. I think this was on purpose. As sick as that sounds, but these people are fucked up. ABC 7 News reports doctors and nurses at the John Muir Medical Center in Walnut Creek, the East Bay region of the San Francisco Bay Area, are reporting deaths by suicide far exceed COVID-19 deaths during the pandemic. What a fucking tragedy. The hospital's top trauma doctor, Dr. Mike DeBoisBlanc, told ABC 7 that mental health has become a major problem during the shelter-in-place order. Personally, I think it's time, said DeBoisBlanc. I think originally this shelter-in-place order was put in place to flatten the curve and to make sure. What kind of curve are we flattening now? Oprah's bathing suit? I mean, it was supposed to be 2 weeks to flatten the curve. Shelter-in-place order was put in place to flatten the curve and to make sure hospitals have the resources to take care of COVID patients. We have current resources to do that, and our other community health is suffering. DeBoisBlanc said the numbers are unprecedented. Listen to this fucking thing. We've never seen numbers like this in such a short period of time, he said. I mean, We've seen a year's worth of suicide attempts in the last 4 weeks. Guys, wait until the next couple months. We're still in the honeymoon phase here. Most of the bill collectors, mortgage companies, that kind of stuff, they have a leash on them. The feds and the states have put a leash on them, say, yeah, you can't foreclose on anybody till like July. Can't throw anybody out of their house till July. No evictions, no foreclosures, no repossessions. Wait until that shit starts. And you're going to see, he says they've seen a year's worth of suicide attempts in the last 4 weeks. You're going to start seeing a year's worth of suicide attempts in 1 week. This isn't rocket science. If you put somebody's head in a vise and squeeze it hard enough, they're not going to come out of it. And there's millions of people who are feeling the squeeze right now, financially, emotionally. That's why even though Trump retweeted me and retweeted Trump, I got to stay objective. A lot of guys would be, back on the train, but I got to stay objective. This is a big problem. We are going to see some nasty months ahead. I'm not even talking about the election. Who gives a shit about the election? I'm talking about getting that far to the election. See what kind of shape we're in. Casey Hansen, a trauma nurse at the hospital for over 3 decades, said the volume of suicide attempts has dramatically increased during the lockdowns, noting the pandemic has stretched resources, which means there are fewer tools to save as many patients as usual. What I have seen recently, I have never seen before, Hansen said. I've never seen so much intentional injury. Yeah, people feel backed into a corner. They don't have anybody to talk to, and they... A lot of people have lost everything they work for. I mean, what's the price on that? What's the price? It's unprecedented. Actually, it's not unprecedented. It happened in 1929 with the stock market crash and the run on the banks. However, it's apples and oranges compared to now, and the sizes of the economies and the fact that if you played by the rules and did everything right, you still got screwed. That's what's unprecedented about it. This is a political construct. It's not a medical pandemic. It's a political construct globally. These fuckers all got together and put the wood to everybody. Try to whip everybody's ass into line, into order, into obedience. That's how I see it. It's control op, disparity op. One of the best I've ever seen, if not the best. They fooled a lot of people. A lot of idiots still running around with masks on in their fucking cars. See these people? I mean, you have to be a special cement head to be driving around in a mask in your car unless you got Typhoid Mary in the fucking trunk. You got Jimmy Hoffa in the trunk? You got a decomposed body in the trunk? What the hell are you people doing? In addition to the 90,000 and counting virus-related deaths, Well-Being Trust recently outlined how 75,000 people could die of drug or alcohol misuse or suicide during the pandemic. Oh, I think it's going to be more than that. I think that's a drop in the bucket. As we lose, 150 people a day before this to opioid abuse and opioid overdose, what do you think is going to happen now? President Trump warned in March that nationwide lockdowns must be reversed to prevent tremendous death from the economic depression, referring to the likely increase of suicides. People get tremendous anxiety and depression, and you have suicide over things like this. When you have terrible economy, you have death, President Trump said. Why are you listening to Fauci then, Trump? I don't get it. Burks at Redfield. I I just don't get it, I guess. It's above my pay grade, I guess. And with any recession and or depression, high unemployment results in financial distress for people and eventually triggers mental health problems. Absolutely. My family went through this with the FBI. They try to take everything from you. they try to crush you, man. We've gone over this. We're not going to go over it right now. But try to bleed you and crush you. Well, that's already happening now to millions of Americans for no good reason, who, again, followed all the rules and did all the right things and paid their taxes and built good businesses and are still taking it up the ass. Pardon my French. The 2008 Great Recession resulted in more than 10,000 suicides. The Great Depression resulted in tens of thousands of people taking their own lives. If the economy continues to be shuttered through April, well, that's or in and May, that's already done. Then the depression will deepen. Suicides will increase. Today's May 25th, so you can chalk that up. That's just the nature of the beast, as was noted in April. It's good news for the holiday to get you off to a good start. Man, I hate to be the voice of reality out here, but things are pretty bad. Things are pretty bad. Remain optimistic. I'm praying for a miracle. That there's not widespread blood shed in the streets this summer, and we can start to get back on a healthy track. I'm praying for a miracle. There's nothing to do with politics. It just has to do with love of the country and love of the people in the country. And I'm praying for a miracle, not just for certain political groups. Where I'm praying for a miracle for everybody to try to bounce back and. More importantly, to try to be able to cope, find the coping mechanisms to weather adversity, because especially some people who have never really had a weather adversity, they've had a pretty good life and adversity free. It's not going to be as easy. Your track record is coming to an end. It's not going to be easy to dodge a lot of these things, so. I'm literally praying that things get better, and I am praying for a miracle. We're gonna need a miracle here, pretty quickly, to turn things around. I don't know what that is, but I remain optimistic that that there is something out there. I'll tell you what, too. Attitude has a lot to do with adversity. If you can maintain a strong attitude and persevere regardless of setbacks. And I'm praying that people find the strength and are provided with the strength to do that as well. I mean, I'm not trying to turn this into a prayer rally, man. I'm just saying it can't hurt with what we're facing. We got issues, folks. So we're back here on Tuesday. We're working on the Wednesday podcast, double podcast on Wednesday. We're back here on Tuesday for Pain in the Morning. A good episode to kick the week off and the holiday week. I think most people might be chilling at home, so I hope you find some solace today, Monday, during the holiday, and recharge your batteries for another week, another turbulent, trying week, as many of the past ones have been recently. And we will see you Tuesday. We appreciate it, all the support on patreon.com/truepundit and patreon.com/truepundit. Now just keep repeating. And subscribestar.com/truepundit is what I wanted to say. We appreciate it. Thank you. We'll see you tomorrow, and God bless. Hang in there.